One always accepts money, but there are few indeed who accept the responsibility of spending it. Quite naturally, I am one of these.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Mr. Charles Boyer in The Adventures of Marcel.
I don't understand. When do you find time to write, Mr. Ramsey? You're everywhere.
Oh, a writer can only write part of the time, my dear. It is of as great importance to find material.
Is that why you're taking me to dinner?
No. No, I'm taking you to dinner because I find you tremendously attractive. I do want you to...
Oh, monsieur. Pardon.
What is it, waiter?
Monsieur Ramsey?
Yes?
You're wanted at a telephone, sir.
Well, bring me a phone.
I'm sorry, but the table service has been discontinued.
When, for heaven's sakes? I was here for lunch.
At tea, sir. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm deeply apologetic, my dear. I'll be right back.
Mademoiselle, get out of here.
What do you mean by that?
Get out, quickly. This man is old enough to be your father. It sickens me to see you with him.
Why? Are you presumptuous, idiot? I'll have you discharged of all the...
Mademoiselle.
What is it?
There is no phone call.
What?
I'm from the police. We're about to make an arrest. Do you wish to be involved?
No, of course I don't.
Well, then go, please, at once.
All right. I'll go. Thank you.
Come, don't stand there looking into space. People are waiting for service.
What? Are you speaking to me?
Oh, I thought... I beg your pardon, monsieur.
Is my table ready?
Of course, monsieur. You had a reservation?
Naturally. For Monsieur le Baron, Marcel de Frontenac.
This way, Monsieur le Baron.
That is Marcel. I wish I could tell you how you would meet him and when, but I am no clairvoyant. I can't imagine ever seeing him any place where there is not the flash of a white shoulder or the glint of some yellow gold. But even this is not a certainty. So, that is Marcel. The Baron, indeed. But then, maybe he is. Who knows? Only Marcel, I guess, or his alter ego, Mr. Charles Boyer. There he sits, ordering luxuriously, as only a gourmet can, a Parisian dinner, which I firmly believe will never be paid for by Marcel.
Oh, garçon.
Oui, monsieur.
Garçon, would you convey my compliments to the gentleman walking to his table now, and ask him if he would care to dine with the Baron de Frontenac?
Oui, monsieur, at once.
This is very kind of you, sir, but I...
Oh, sit down, Mr. Ramsey.
You're the waiter, that phone call.
Yes, I am. I ruined your entire evening, I know. I want to make amends for that.
But what is this? Why? How do you know me? What business is it of yours?
Now, one thing at a time, Mr. Ramsey. I know you because you are quite a well-known writer. It is no business of mine whatsoever. But if you're going to be fleeced, I should like to see it happen with a bit of subtlety. I'm sensitive about these things.
Please? Do you think I'm a child?
In Paris, my dear sir, age, strength, even wisdom are poor weapons against a Molineux gown and the God-given elements to fill it.
I've never heard of such impertinence, such nerve. I think you're an adventurer, Baron, or whatever you call yourself, and I'm going to have you run in.
As you will, Mr. Ramsey, but why not look squarely at the facts? Here you were, brilliant writer, attractive... Looking forward to an enchanting evening of Parisian romance. Well, had this been in the cards for you, I would have stretched out my hands in a true benediction. But I did not fancy readings in my morning newspaper of the American writer found beaten up and possibly stabbed on the banks of the Seine.
You're kidding, aren't you?
I'm not kidding, Mr. Ramsey. Now, will you have some wine?
Yes, I will.
Just call me Marcel.
I still don't understand your...
interference?
Well, let's call it concern.
Mr. Ramsey, your dinner clothes are beautifully cut. Your star sapphires are real, and Dun & Bradstreet are most complimentary about you. And as for me, I can pay my way with you, Mr. Ramsey.
Well, that's a switch.
After all, material to a writer is his lifeblood. He wastes half his life gathering the thoughts that he must transmit into words. I will save just half your life.
At a price?
At a price.
How do I know I can use anything you might tell me?
You don't. I've thought of that. I'll tell you a story tonight. If you can use it, you will pay me $200. Dollars, please. And for each story thereafter, $100 additional.
And if I don't like your story?
Well, then I shall be delighted to be your guest for this excellent dinner.
All right, you win. I can't afford not to listen.
Good. One might call this story The Adventure of the Queen of Sheba, but do not think that it is about her. No, it happened on a beautiful transatlantic liner named after her. I was standing on a Parisian street, looking rather wistfully at pictures in the window of luxurious life at sea, knowing that I had no money for passage, when the faintest scent of an exotic perfume seemed to settle about me. As I turned my head to see where it had come from,
would you mind if I pass, please?
Oh, but of course. I beg your pardon. I'm afraid I was very rude. I was staring.
You were. You are. May I pass?
Certainly.
May I help you, mademoiselle?
I have come for my tickets. Now, your Helmdorf.
Let me see. Helmdorf. Oh, yes, yes. Here we are. Cabin 402, A deck. The Queen of Sheba sails at midnight. I hope you have a very pleasant crossing.
Thank you.
Yes, sir?
Who is the manager here?
I am.
My name is Lupa. I'm a private detective. I've been reading of the activities of card sharps and professional gamblers on your line.
Oh, yes. We are most concerned about it.
Well, I've been promising myself a vacation for years, and the thought occurred to me that I might combine that with a little work.
In what way?
It would cost you a considerable amount of money to hire additional detectives to protect your passengers. I'm not interested in money. If you care to guarantee my round-trip passage, I would be glad to offer my professional services to the line free of charge.
That seems reasonable. We might want to take advantage of your offer. Where can I get in touch with you?
Oh, I'm afraid this proposition only holds good for the sailing of the Queen of Sheba tonight. It's my only opportunity to get away.
Well, I may not be able to move that fast, monsieur.
I'll be here tonight with my luggage. If you are interested, have a cabin ready for me. Oh, preferably A deck. Good day, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
You see, I'm still staring.
Yes, you are, aren't you? You're a very persistent man.
Have you any idea how persistent? Do you know that at this time yesterday I had no idea of being aboard this ship?
Really?
Do you know that I'm a very busy man with a very full schedule and no time at all to be on the ocean?
Are you accusing me of having something to do with this?
Well, of course I am. What right have you to walk casually into my life and then walk past, leaving a trail of that intoxicating perfume?
Oh, you're not serious.
Serious? You have ruined my life. All day, all week, all month. Appointments are being canceled in Paris, Rome, Berlin. No one knows where I am. No one can find me. And you want to know if I'm serious? What time shall we have lunch?
Well, I don't believe
it. Don't go on. Are you married?
No.
Are you alone?
Yes.
What time shall we have lunch? I'm sure you'll want a little rest. We've been walking miles.
They're wonderful. I love the wind in my face.
It's put roses in your cheeks and stars in your eyes. You know you're very lovely.
Oh, I think I'll rest a little.
I'll be in the bar at 8.
Yes.
Will you be there?
Yes, I'll be there.
I want to be with you every moment.
You give me no single second to think. There are a great many things you don't know about me.
Well, you know nothing at all about me. Do you care?
No.
Neither do I. Shall we dance?
time to say goodnight, Nadja.
I know. It's so beautiful. I hate to leave it.
Another day tomorrow. Even more beautiful. Because we'll know each other better.
Thank you, Martha. It's been heaven.
May I, my dear?
Imagine me asking.
Good night.
Good night.
Hello, Nadja.
Hello, Foster.
Well, this is the last lap, Miss Helmdorf. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I know.
It's been a nice world cruise for me, though, even if it has been expensive for New York State.
And you still think I did it?
Oh, now, look, honey, I'm paid for being a detective. Nobody ever asked me to defend him in a law court. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a judge. I'm not a jury. I just get paid to follow people, find them, and bring them back alive. I don't know if you did it or not.
I wonder if I could ask you to do me a favor.
You could ask me.
I'll give it to you straight. I've fallen in love. Head over heels. Didn't want to, but there it is. Now, this trip lasts 5 days. One's gone already. Will you keep your mouth shut for the other four?
I'm not doing any talking.
I didn't mean that. Will you stay away from me on my promise that I won't try to pull anything and let me have all the happiness I can get for the rest of this trip?
I don't care what you do as long as I can see you.
I just don't want to feel that you're snooping around. Will you do this for me, Foster?
You know, baby, a detective's pay isn't really enough for what he goes through. I'll see you in the morning. But, remember, I'll still be looking. Maybe only out of the corner of my eye. Good night.
Marcel.
Who is he, Nadja?
Oh, Marcel, you heard.
But why didn't you tell me about him?
I couldn't tell you about him. I wanted some happiness, that's all. But it's too late. I'm sorry, Marcel, but I'm not for you. Oh, leave me, please. I can't stand anymore.
Very well. Good night, my dear.
What were you doing in there, chum?
That comes under the heading of my business.
I'm making it mine. That little dame is under my protection.
Protection is not the word I would have used.
No cracks, mister. If I were you, I'd stay away from this part of the bateau and the dame.
When a lady tells me to leave her, I always leave. I take no orders from anyone else.
You're taking them from me or else.
Or else what?
I'm under orders, mister. I'm taking this girl in. If anybody tries to stop me, my orders say shoot to kill. I don't mind doing it.
You mean this girl is under arrest?
This is news to you?
On what charge?
Not illegal parking, chum. It's murder.
You see, Mr. Ramsey, it was murder.
Go on, man.
It's my throat. You suppose another bottle of wine?
And now, the second act of The Adventures of Marcel, starring Mr. Charles Boyer.
You always stop talking at such a maddening point.
I had to stop.
Why?
I told you, my throat was dry.
You find that good wine refreshes your memory?
Invariably, and delightfully.
I'm curious to know why you followed this girl at all.
Mr. Ramsey, when I turn my head outside that steamship office in Paris, I look into a pair of green eyes that were hypnotic. I don't think I breathed again until she passed. And when she did, I really saw her for the first time. Tall, exquisitely formed, with a rare beauty that only red hair and green eyes can give a woman. She was irresistible. And as I followed her, it was with strange sensation that she somehow, somewhere had been part of my life before. Think of my horror to learn that this girl, this vision of beauty, was a murderess. It was no business of mine, of course, but I knew I couldn't stay out of it. And I knew Foster did not like me a bit better than I liked him. I went to bed that night with a strange sense of foreboding.
And I was just putting off to sleep when a knife hissed across the room and buried itself in the wall 4 inches over my heart. Operator. Operator.
Yes, sir?
Get me the captain, quickly.
I cannot disturb the captain until 6 a.m., sir.
This is an emergency. Call him at once.
Yes, sir. Just a moment.
What the devil is this?
This is Lopak, Captain.
What do you want?
Well, there is a very handsome hunting knife still quivering in the wall of my cabin, just over my bed. Interested?
Stay right where you are. Be right down.
Let me see that knife.
I think you'd better search my luggage instead.
Why?
Well, when I came aboard, I had nothing on my person or in my bags that anyone would want to kill me for.
Does anyone else know I've been called?
No, only the operator.
Open your suitcase.
I'll open it.
It's all very neat. It doesn't look as it... what's this?
This? Oh, just an old brush case. I've had it... Now, wait a minute.
What is it?
Well, that's been in the bathroom ever since we sailed. Open it, Captain.
Right.
Well.
It's very pretty. Beautiful pearls, indeed. Are they real?
Well, if they're not, do you think they're worth throwing a knife at my head?
Are you sure you've never seen that knife before?
You mean, is it my knife? Did I stick it into the wall? No, Captain. No.
Well, at any rate, I shall have to ask that you remain in your cabin. And you might as well know that I will have a man guarding it. Good night.
Oh, before you go, Captain, would you do something for me?
What is it?
One of your passengers is a detective by the name of James Foster. Will you cable and check his authenticity?
Why?
Well, I'd feel lonely if I were the only one under suspicion.
Good morning, Marcel.
Well, good morning, my dear. It's nice of you to call. You know, I think I'd better warn you. Did you see a man outside this cabin as you came in?
Yes, one of the crew.
Guarding me. I'm virtually under arrest.
But why? What have you done?
Well, sometimes one doesn't have to do anything to be under arrest.
Oh, yes, I know.
Do you?
Oh, stop fencing, Marcel. I heard Foster stop you outside my door last night. You know all about me now, don't you?
Well, I know what Foster told me.
And?
And I don't believe it.
Thank you, Marcel. But I don't understand about you.
A man, a passenger, was almost killed last night, apparently for a pearl necklace, which he was smuggling. At least they tell me it was found rather cleverly hidden in his luggage.
Marcel.
Yes?
My time is short. You can help me.
How?
Tell me how you got my pearls.
Your pearls?
Mine.
But what makes them important enough for murder?
They're worth $150,000. That's a lot of money, which I need.
Enough to kill for it?
I'd be killed without it. Does that answer your question?
Come in. Oh, Captain, has the governor given me a reprieve? Or are you taking orders for the prisoner's last supper?
May I see you alone?
Of course. I was just leaving, Captain. It's the most comfortable trip.
Lucky weather, ma'am.
Later, Marcel.
Later. Captain, have your guard follow her. Don't let her out of your sight.
But I don't understand.
No, not now. Just tell him.
Follow that girl. Don't leave until I talk to you.
Aye, aye, sir.
Thank you. Where now, Captain?
Well, you were right. Foster was detached from service while he was in Cairo. They let him say he resigned. It seems he lost a lot of money gambling.
Never mind the reasons, Captain. He's not a detective under orders. Is that right?
No. No, as far as I can see, he's just a man out of a job.
Well, I suspect that this is an enchanting plot of cheating cheaters. Motive? $150,000 worth of pearls.
Which were found in your possession.
Only because of the plot. One of them decided that $75,000 was not enough.
What do you mean, one of them? You sound as if there were two.
Yes, one planted the pearls on me. And I think that before many hours go by, the more charming of our cheaters will accuse the other of attempted murder.
But you had the pearls.
And you don't know whose they were. Do you, Captain?
Of course not.
Will it convince you at all if shortly after the accusation, someone claims them?
Why, that's ridiculous. If those pearls belonged to anyone on board, you'd hear them screaming for miles.
Let's wait, Captain. Let's wait, shall we? I'll come with you to your quarters, if I may.
Yes, madam?
May I come in? I'm sorry to intrude on your privacy, Captain, but it's quite important.
Why, of course.
I'm Nadja Helmdorf. Something very serious has happened.
If I can help, ma'am, I shall be very happy.
I have a confession to make. I had planned to bring some things into the United States without paying duty. I imagine this happens a great deal.
I'm afraid so.
I've been robbed of some very valuable jewels.
Oh? What were they?
Pearls. A necklace.
What is the approximate value of the necklace?
Oh, between $150,000 and $200,000.
Why, this is serious, Miss Helmdorf. Have you, suspected that anyone on board might have
Captain,
paid too much attention?
I know you're far too busy to notice, but I've been escorted on this trip by a detective named Foster.
Huh?
I'm going to America to face a grave charge. This is, I know, none of your concern, but there is something else. I don't suppose I should say this.
Go on, Miss Helmdorf.
Well, I began to get suspicious of Foster before we sailed. He acted peculiarly like a man afraid, like a desperate man.
So?
So nothing happened until last night. And just as he said goodnight to me, he leapt at me and I caught the glint of metal in his hand. It looked just like a knife, Captain. I think he... I'm sure he meant to stab me. I just barely managed to slam my door shut in time.
Miss Helmdorf, you realize that you're making a direct accusation?
I'm only accusing him of the attack, Captain. I don't know if he took the pearls or not.
Very well. We will do everything possible to help you recover your property, and for your own protection, I will assign a guard to you for the rest of the voyage.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. All right, Marcel. Come on out of the closet.
Sold, Captain?
Sold. Oh, it's a cold proposition, isn't she?
Cold as ice. Eh? Money makes some people that way.
Oh, by the way,
speaking of money, there must be some reward for information leading to the arrest of smugglers.
She hasn't smuggled yet, and she won't unless she gets her pearls back. But I think the customs people will be probably grateful to you.
Oh, not to me, Captain. To us.
I'm out. It's part of my job.
Oh, well, it makes me very sad. I came aboard fresh with the fine enthusiasm of adventure and romance. I have no adventure, no romance. Nothing but sordid dollars as my reward. No, Captain, it's not worthwhile. It's not as rich as the days of cloak and dagger.
You don't have to accept the reward.
Oh, no. This would be folly. One always accepts money. But there are few indeed who accept the responsibility of spending it. I'm one of these, Captain. Of course I'll accept it.
I thought maybe you might.
Now, you know we're counting our chickens too soon, Captain. Now, first I must close the case. Shall we have our meeting?
All right.
I'm ready to go back in the closet. You know, I'm getting quite fond of it.
Mr. Foster, I've called you because your charge, Miss Helmdorf, has reported the theft of some very valuable jewels.
Theft? Why, you double-crossing...
One moment, Mr. Foster. You will notice a .45 lying on my desk pointing at you. May I continue?
Go ahead.
Miss Helmdorf tells me that last night you practically made an attempt on her life. I think it is in her mind that you might have stolen her pearls in the scuffle.
Can I talk now?
Yes.
Would you mind turning that heater the other way?
Very well.
Now, did she tell you she was going to smuggle them in?
Why, yes, she did.
She did, huh? Well, isn't that sweet? But you got religion, huh, baby? A new kind of unity. All for one and none for two.
Go on, Foster.
All right, Captain. I'll sing you a song. This dame and I had a deal. We get the necklace through customs, and after the fence was through with it, we split two ways.
Watch it, Foster. Remember
Everything
me?
Everything's working great. Then sister here gets greedy and decides there isn't enough for two. She steals her own necklace and tries to plant a guilt frame around my neck.
Foster!
Everybody gets the news that I'm taking her in for murder. Her? One murder? Why, she's got more murders than Babe Ruth hit home runs. Why, they... Hey, watch that knife! Nadja, don't!
Who?
Too late for a knife, Nadja. Bullets are still faster. Well, I hated to hurt this beautiful hand, but we'll be all right in a few days.
Good shot, Marcel. You were a good pigeon. Only you fly a little low. Too bad we didn't quite make it. We'd have been so pretty together.
You know, I never recognized you, Nadja. Not once. Not until the exact moment I squeezed the trigger.
Recognized her? Why, did you know her before?
Yes, with black hair in Cairo. Big life-size pictures in front of the theater. Nadia, the most beautiful night thrower in the world.
Wow, a knife thrower. Who'll believe that one?
Do you?
Well, yeah, I think I do. At least it was worth $200 to hear you tell it. Here you are.
Thank you. Oh, there's lipstick on this $50 bill. Did you notice?
I didn't.
Well, I always notice lipstick because this recalls to me an adventure I once had with a theatrical makeup man.
Oh,
most intriguing.
Oh, I'm not too interested in backstage
chatter. No, 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 I didn't finish. He became one of the greatest living novelists.
Novelist?
Yes, yet he never wrote a line in his life. Will you be here next week at this time, Mr. Ramsey?
Charles Boyer will next be seen starring in Douglas Sirk's production, The First Legion. Our cast included Lorene Tuttle, Eileen Prince, Raymond Burr, Stacey Harris, Peter Leeds, Rolf Sedan, and Donald Morrison. The Adventures of Marcel was written and directed by Nat Wolfe and was a presentation of the NBC Hollywood Program Department. Frank Barton speaking.